Welcome to PostView.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Rural Communities Initiative conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the one followed by the four on your telephone. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded today, November 18th, 2008. I would now like to turn the conference over to James Butler, Federal Project Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Maura. Good afternoon, everyone, and hello. First of all, I'd like to welcome everyone to this Rural Communities Initiative, AmeriCorps TANF Partnerships Teleconference. As an outcome of the Rural Communities Academy that occurred in September, many of you who participated expressed some interest in learning more about how to utilize AmeriCorps volunteers in their TANF programs as well as in their communities. So we're pretty pleased today that we've been able to put together this teleconference in hopes that some of the information shared will be of interest and useful as you operate your program. Today, we have five very knowledgeable speakers from four programs who will share their experiences and expertise with us pertaining to AmeriCorps. After our speakers have presented, we will open the lines up, as has already been mentioned, for any questions or comments that you might have for our speakers. So without further ado, our first speaker for today is Ms. Shondria Leonard. She's the AmeriCorps State and National Program Officer in Dallas, Texas. Shondria has worked as a program officer for AmeriCorps State and National at the Corporation for National and Community Services, acronym CNCS, for 4 years. She joined CNCS in 2003 as an AmeriCorps Recruitment Program Specialist. Prior to her work at CNCS, she spent 4 years working in the nonprofit arena in various capacities. She's a graduate of the University of Georgia with a BA in Journalism and a master's in public administration. She's also a proud AmeriCorps alumni. So, welcome, Shondria.
Hi, James. Thank you, and hello to everyone on the call. So, I am a program officer working with AmeriCorps National at the Corporation for National and Community Service. So, I thought it would be best if I just explained, gave you a brief overview of AmeriCorps and the corporation, and then discuss a little bit about how you could apply to become an AmeriCorps grantee if that is something that you are interested in doing in order to serve your communities. So the first thing I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the Corporation for National and Community Service. And just so you know who we are an independent federal grant-making agency. Even though we have corporation in our title, we are a federal agency. And we were created to connect Americans of all ages and backgrounds with opportunities to give back to their communities and our nation. And the mission of our agency is to support people and organizations in using citizen service as a strategy to meet critical national and community needs and to foster an ethic of civic responsibility. And since our inception, we have engaged more than 1.5 million Americans of all ages and backgrounds in service each year through our three main programs, which are AmeriCorps, Senior Corps, and Learn and Serve America. So I'm going to talk about AmeriCorps in general now. AmeriCorps is a network of local, state, and national service programs that connect more than 75,000 Americans each year in intensive service to meet our country's critical needs in education, public safety, health, environmental needs, and in other areas such as disaster response and preparedness. AmeriCorps provides opportunities for individuals who serve as AmeriCorps members to serve their communities across the nation. And since 1994, when AmeriCorps was created, more than 500,000 men and women have provided service as members in their communities. So what exactly are AmeriCorps members, or who are they? Well, they are individuals who are enrolled for a specific term of service with an approved AmeriCorps program. And their term of service is between 300 hours and 1,700 hours each year. So 300 would be the minimum amount of time that someone could serve as an AmeriCorps member in a one-year period of time. And 1,700 hours would be the full-time member who serves for a one-year period of time. And members can serve for 1 or 2 years in AmeriCorps. AmeriCorps members receive an education award of up to $4,725 for successfully completing a full-time term of service. Education awards are prorated for lesser terms of service, and that education award that they receive is a benefit for their service in AmeriCorps, and they can use that to either pay back student loans that they accrued when they were a student, if they already went to school, or if they have not yet gone to school, they can use those funds to help pay for college tuition. Some AmeriCorps members also receive a living allowance, health insurance, and child care benefits to support them during their terms of service. So those things are required for someone who is a full-time member, and then a living allowance can be paid for someone who's a less than full-time member, but it's not required that they receive that as a benefit during their service. And AmeriCorps members must be individuals who are U.S. citizens, U.S. nationals, or lawful permanent resident alien of the United States, and they must be at least 17 years of age at the beginning of their term of service. Now, those are members. I'm going to talk now about AmeriCorps grants and what they do. And what AmeriCorps grants do is provide funding to support some of the expenses related with running an AmeriCorps program. AmeriCorps programs are designed by the applicant organization to address specific community needs through the assistance of full-time or part-time AmeriCorps members. The AmeriCorps grant includes an allotment of AmeriCorps member positions, and the funds that you would receive from AmeriCorps are directly tied to the specific number of AmeriCorps members and are solely for the program expenses. The grants, again, partially cover the expense of operating an AmeriCorps program, and they don't cover general organizational expenses. And grant recipients must contribute match funding to support the program, and that match can be cash, or it can be in-kind, or a combination of those. And the organizations that receive our grants are responsible for recruiting, selecting, and supervising AmeriCorps members to serve in their programs. So, in general, the purpose and benefits of AmeriCorps grants are that the purpose is to fund high-quality programs that meet that help meet community needs through service, develop an ethic of service in AmeriCorps members, strengthen the capacity of communities to address their needs, and demonstrate the impact they are having in the community. AmeriCorps programs are developed by the grantee who has identified a compelling need and designed a set of activities for members and community volunteers that will have a direct impact on that need. And the grantee receives funds to support the administration of the program. They also receive access to training and technical assistance resources provided by the corporation and entrance into a network of organizations across the country that are committed to improving their community in different ways. So if you become an AmeriCorps grantee, you not only get guidance from program officers and grants officers here on our staff at CNCS, but you also have access to our training and technical assistance providers that are a wealth of knowledge and resources in a lot of different areas, whether it be sustainability and fundraising or member recruitment, program management. We provide coaching assistance through our technical assistance providers. So we have a lot of support in place to help you be successful if this is something that you want to become as an AmeriCorps program. And then within the network of AmeriCorps programs, we also make sure that you're connected with other programs that are maybe operating in similar conditions that you may be operating in, or serve the similar type of member, or there's different kind of service categories that we call affinity groups, where we group like programs together so that they can share their knowledge and resources with one another. So there's a lot of support peer-to-peer and from the corporation as the grantor that we provide to our organizations. And then what the community gets as a benefit is they gain a dedicated, enthusiastic team of individuals who are committed to addressing the needs of the community through AmeriCorps. And the AmeriCorps members themselves gain skills and experience and an education award to be used to further their education and repay student loans. So that's kind of a brief overview of what AmeriCorps is and what an AmeriCorps member is. And now I'd like to talk a little bit about how you can become part of AmeriCorps. There's a couple of different ways. At the corporation, our department's called AmeriCorps State and National, and we're divided into state program officers and national program officers. And if you work with AmeriCorps State, what that means is that they work with state service commissions, and most every state has a state service commission. I believe South Dakota is the only state that currently does not have one, but they still receive funding from us to support AmeriCorps in their states. But the state service commissions are the organizations in each state that are responsible for growing AmeriCorps in their state, and they hold a grant competition to fund new AmeriCorps programs in their state. So if you are operating in a single state, like I'm here in Texas, so there's the Texas One Star Foundation that is the organization in the state that serves as the grantor organization for AmeriCorps programs only operating in the state of Texas. So they fund a lot of different types of programs, most of them related to education, but there are other programs and other commissions across the country have different focus areas. But if you were interested in becoming an AmeriCorps program and only operating in the state where you're currently located, you would need to contact your state service commission to find out about what their application process is, what their funding priorities are for their state, and any other information that they would need to provide you, like the application and and other things that they could offer to assist you as you apply for AmeriCorps funding there. If you are able to operate in more than one state, then a possibility for you might be to apply directly to the corporation in one of our AmeriCorps National grant competitions. And in AmeriCorps National, we have 6 different grant competitions. One just closed, and it was for planning grants. And what those would do is offer an organization up to $50,000 to be used to help plan an AmeriCorps program, and they'd have that for a one-year period of time where they would get some support from us. They'd be assigned a program officer and get entrance into, like I said, our network of programs. And we would work with them to help them plan out an AmeriCorps program so that in the 2010 competition, they'll be able to submit a full grant for a program that would operate in 2 or more states. And so that is why we're called national, because our programs in the national portfolio must operate at least in 2 states. Many operate in more than 2 states, though. Some on a regional and some on a national level. And so the other national grant programs besides the planning grants would be National Directs, Professional Corps, Education Award Programs, and then we have 2 different competitions for Indian Tribes. One is just an Indian Tribes Program Grant, and one is an Indian Tribe Planning Grant. But the planning grant, again, competition already ended. So for applying to AmeriCorps, the deadline to apply directly to the corporation for a national grant would be January 13th, 5 p.m. Eastern, and you apply in eGrants, which is an online application process system where you'd go in and type in your narrative in various text fields and then fill out your budget in a predetermined format that's online. And for our staff at AmeriCorps National, we actually host a series of calls to provide more information for applicants. There's an orientation to AmeriCorps where I go over the information that I covered briefly with you guys just here now. We go over it in a lot more detail, and we provide even more additional information about terminology, and we go into detail about our various grant competitions and answer questions for organizations that are not familiar with AmeriCorps. And then after that call, the next call is what we call Next Steps. And that's kind of an intermediate level call where we go over in a bit more detail program models. We help people think through their ideas. We answer questions. And we go over the application selection criteria so that people have a better idea about what we are requesting in our applications and how they might best answer some of the criteria. Demonstrate in their application how they would be a good fit for AmeriCorps and how they have what it takes to actually administer an AmeriCorps program. And we also have a budget call, which preceding this call, I was just sitting on that call. And what that budget call is, it's facilitated by one of our training and technical assistance providers. It answers questions from applicants about what is and is not allowable, to include in the AmeriCorps budget, how to calculate this or that, whether it's the administrative or indirect cost rate, or what's appropriate travel. We just take you through all of what you need to know about how to create the budget to support the program that you're designing. And then we also have calls that kind of help people navigate through eGrant so they know what to expect when they go in there. And it shows them the screenshots of the different narrative boxes and takes you through eGrant so that you aren't confused when it's time for you to actually go in there and submit your application yourself. So those are the things that we do to kind of help people if they have questions and want to apply to AmeriCorps. And then I also want to give you our AmeriCorps National telephone number and email box so that if you have questions that I'm not able to sit on this call because I'm going to have to leave before this call is over, if you have questions that you would like to ask, you can either call our voicemail, which is at 202-606-7508, or you can email us at AmeriCorpsNational@cns.gov, and I'll spell that out for you. It's AmeriCorpsNational@cns.gov. So those are two ways that you can contact us after this call is over. So not sure if my time is up or not, but I definitely don't want to go over time. So I will just close with going over very briefly what the roles and responsibilities and requirements are of an AmeriCorps grantee, and then I will move on and let the next person take over. But if you are going to be an AmeriCorps grantee, that means that you have the overall legal, administrative, and fiscal responsibility for the entire scope of the program that you are designing. And as a grantee, you must provide the financial management and programmatic oversight for the program. You must provide and monitor the financial management and program performance, even if you have members working at operating sites or service sites that are not right near where you are. You still need to know what's happening and provide training and technical assistance to the sites and to the staff. You must ensure the recruitment and retention of members. You must also train those members and prepare them for service. And then if you're a grantee of the corporations, like a direct grantee, you would act as the liaison between the corporation and your sites, and you would provide systems which allow for member hours and activities to be tracked and which collect data on activities that is used to both measure impact and progress and to strengthen your program. So I just wanted to leave you with that so you kind of have an idea about what some of the responsibilities are for being an AmeriCorps program, and I hope that you found this information useful. I'd be happy to answer questions at a later date if I'm not able to be on the call again, like I said, when we get to the question and answer period.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for your presentation.
You're welcome.
In case you're not at the end of the call, so I want to thank you now. Okay, our next speaker will be Ms. Anna Wright Huff. Ms. Huff is employed by the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences College of Public Health as a community liaison to the Dean of the College of Public Health. Her work involves the implementation of community-based risk reduction and health promotion activities across the Delta of Arkansas. She's also the director of the Mid-Delta Community Consortium, where she manages funds of over $500,000 that she administers and distributes across 19 Delta counties in Arkansas to assist in meeting unmet health needs through the provision and coordination of technical assistance to ensure sustainability in these communities. A graduate of the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. She is a native of the Delta and also a graduate of Lead Arkansas. Her work has taken her across the U.S. and abroad, studying at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, Israel, and the University of California, Davis, in Davis, California, learning new techniques, skills, and sharing lessons learned with others in the field. She's very much involved in community activities and currently serves on the board of the Arkansas Coalition of Excellence, Arkansas Kids Count Coalition, Arkansas Public Policy Panel, Delta Area Health Education Center, Advisory Council, and many other community partnerships. She is co-instructor at the COPH and a community researcher. Everyone, welcome, Ms. Huff.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for that introduction. I wasn't you to say that much, but thank you anyway. I am the director of a local nonprofit organization, Mid-Delta Community Consortium, and that's the organization that we serve as a sponsoring organization for the AmeriCorps project. We have an AmeriCorps grant and have been the recipients of an AmeriCorps grant since 2004. We operate a program that we are very much trying to address the lack of uninsured and underinsured residents across the geographical area where we work, which is 19 Delta counties, to access prescription assistance or prescription medication. We currently, and I'm going to talk about our current project, we currently have 15 AmeriCorps members in place, and those AmeriCorps members are located across scattered sites. Chandra, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, mentioned to you your responsibilities as an AmeriCorps project. She mentioned the grantee, and also I believe she talked about the host site. There are a lot of responsibilities when you decide to administer such a program. We are very much engaged with our community, as Mr. Butler stated earlier during the introduction. We also engage them in assisting MDCC, which I'm going to use as an acronym for Mid-Delta Community Consortium. We ask them to assist us in meeting the match requirement because we don't have those resources. So we go to them and state to them, if you're interested in hosting, which is what we call the placement of an AmeriCorps member at a respective site, if you're interested in hosting an AmeriCorps member, they will be required to provide a certain amount of match. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about our project, but I do want you to know that our AmeriCorps members are placed at host sites, and they are recruited locally from the local community. And when I say the local community, for instance, if an AmeriCorps member is being placed in a respective county, we give that organization that's going to be the host site the opportunity to recruit that person locally. We also use the web-based recruiting mechanism that the corporation has in place, but we give the community an option to also locate someone. We feel that that's the best way for that person to be successful because of the trust factor that's a lot of time needed in the programs that we operate, that AmeriCorps members participate in, especially in our prescription assistance program. Our prescription assistance program is one where we work with uninsured and underinsured individuals in obtaining prescription medication. We cannot provide those medications, so we have to form strong relationships with our local physicians and our hospitals. We do not provide those medications. They come from pharmaceutical companies. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of prescription assistance programs. We're one of those many programs. We make sure that our local folks who enroll in our program also are a part of a follow-up process that we have instituted. And we've instituted that project by also utilizing AmeriCorps members. So we have AmeriCorps members that serve as prescription assistance health advocates and also AmeriCorps members who serve as community health advocates. And those community health advocates, who we call CHAs, assist us with the follow-up that we provide those who enroll in our prescription assistance program. Not only do we want to see those folks or folks access their medications, we want to make sure that they adhere to taking those medications. So that's where the CHAs come in. Chandra also mentioned the training requirement. We have developed a stream of training for our AmeriCorps members. The state provides training, but we also create a module for our training that's specific to our AmeriCorps program. The state offers an entry-level training, and they also offer advanced training. So our AmeriCorps members, they all get together for those respective trainings with other AmeriCorps members across the state. There are approximately 10 AmeriCorps programs in the state of Arkansas. We are the only health-focused AmeriCorps project. So those AmeriCorps members have the opportunity to network with other AmeriCorps members across the state when they attend those state-sponsored AmeriCorps meetings. We host our local AmeriCorps meetings across our respective regions so that the members can get together and share with each other on a quarterly basis. So that's one of the responsibilities that we took on as a sponsoring organization. We also try and make sure that all of our AmeriCorps members get some training that's consistent across the program, which is CPR, civic engagement, and things of that sort. Our staff consists of, I serve as a project director, and then we have a project assistant, which is part-time. I'm part-time as well. We have a clerical person that's part-time, but none of these folks are paid through AmeriCorps funds. We have our in-kind resources paid for those particular staff members. The resources that we receive are strictly for the AmeriCorps members' living allowance and their health insurance. We had a team leader, and a team leader is an AmeriCorps member that has additional responsibilities. Our team leader served as a mentor to oncoming AmeriCorps or new AmeriCorps members. We found that this was essential because they are so scattered. They need some type of mechanism whereby they could have someone to serve as a support other than their host site, because the host site is a support, but a lot of times they don't serve as a support, and they don't know all the ins and outs about the AmeriCorps program as the AmeriCorps staff or the AmeriCorps members. So it's critical that there's some type of mechanism in place where these folks can stay in contact with each other, and that's really an issue when you have rural programs, because some of our members are as much as 100 miles apart. Therefore, we need to make sure we have a mechanism for communication, for support, for feedback. It's a lot of work. Being an AmeriCorps sponsor, I don't want to deceive anyone to say that it's not a lot of work. It's a wonderful program. We have, over the last year, been able to save the local residents who are part of our prescription assistance program over $700,000. The first year that we implemented this program, in the first 10 months, we saved folks across the state, not only in our service area, which is interesting because we can not only serve folks in our service area, we can serve anybody in the United States. We serve folks over close to $3 million. So this is a fantastic mechanism to promote and enhance prescription assistance programs. We have also been very engaged in forming partnerships, because without those partnerships, this program would not operate. As I mentioned earlier, the hospitals, the local physicians, our AHECs, all of those organizations and agencies are very active partners in what we do. We couldn't do it without them because we don't have the staff, nor do we have the resources. There's a lot, an awful lot I could tell you about our program, but I would rather entertain questions. I want to know, what do people need to know? One other thing that I want to add before I leave and we go to the next presenter is that we also built a piece into our project where our AmeriCorps members are responsible for recruiting volunteers. And those volunteers are in place to assist those AmeriCorps members in actually operating their program and to learn that program so that once those members are off the scene, there will be some sustainability and some continuity in that program's continued operation. Several of our AmeriCorps members have also, upon completing their service, their terms of service, whether it's 1 year or 2 year, and we do have full-time and part-time members, they have been absorbed by their host sites. We have two hospitals that have employed their former AmeriCorps members. We have a local community organization that has employed their former AmeriCorps member. So these are avenues whereby these folks are now fully employed by the organizations where they were once placed as AmeriCorps members. And we wrote all of that into our sustainability plan. This was something that we had planned. We didn't know if it would happen, but it did, and we were very fortunate and very happy that it did, because this is a way where folks who receive this training, wonderful training that no one can take from those individuals once they receive that training, once they're trained, you don't want to lose those folks, especially in those respective communities. So therefore, those folks have been maintained, and they're now operating their prescription assistance program. I'm going to stop at this point and not inundate you with a lot of information and wait until we get to the question and answer period.
Okay. Thank you so very much, Ms. Huff. Our next speaker will be Ms. Valerie Pennington, who is the director of Lower Mississippi Delta Service Corps. Ms. Pennington began work at the Lower Mississippi Delta Service Corps in September of 1996, and she became the executive director of the Corps in February 2006. As executive director, she assists Arkansas and Mississippi Delta Service Corps to develop projects and strengthen communities. She is a native of Rosedale, Mississippi, and was a graduate of Delta State University, where she earned her BA and MBA degrees, and is currently enrolled in the doctoral program for education. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Ms. Pennington.
Good afternoon. I think that my role in the call is a bit different from everyone else's. Mr. Butler just told you about my work with Lower Mississippi Delta Service Corps. And Lower Mississippi Delta Service Corps is a national direct AmeriCorps program, and if you heard that term earlier, we are operating currently in the states of Mississippi and Arkansas, and we have 45 members in the Delta counties serving in those states. In 2004, the past executive director decided that we needed a volunteer center in our area as a way of connecting nonprofit agencies with volunteers who were underserved and wanted to go and do something to give back to the community. So the volunteer center was formed. Part of what the volunteer center does is we have a partnership with the Department of Human Services here in our county, where we work with their TANF recipients. The TANF recipients there come to our office for placement. They complete an application. We find out what their interest areas are, what their educational level is, and we try to find placement for them based on those things. Most of the ladies or the men that come to us are without a high school diploma, but they want to do something to improve their situation. So our nonprofit partners work with us in placing them. Say, for instance, some are interested in becoming teachers. We will place them in Head Start centers or either in schools to get a feel of what it is that they will be preparing themselves for. Because we are associated with the AmeriCorps program, we push for them to apply to our program. And also, in doing that, we give them an opportunity to see that there are career possibilities for them. Part of the trainings that they receive when they come to our office, we have professional development training for them, resume writing, interview skills, core ability skills training, conflict resolution, effective communication workshops. Now, as I mentioned earlier, some of the ladies that come in or the men that come in don't have high school diplomas. So one of the things that we do is try to get them connected to other agencies that provide GED programs for them free of charge. The ladies and men come to us and serve 25 to 30 hours a week up to 6 months before the Department of Human Services pulls them and puts them into a job readiness class, but they can come back into our program. We've had several of the individuals who were receiving TANF to switch from TANF and receiving assistance to enter the AmeriCorps program. And like one of the presenters said earlier, once they complete our program, they receive an educational award, which will assist them in receiving the education they need in order to get the career that they desire. When I spoke with Ms. Barr earlier, I was telling them about that those are the things that we do here. You've heard earlier what the AmeriCorps program does. But the TANF recipients that come in are coming in through the volunteer center to do those hours to go on and find a career path that they would like. So that's basically my connection with AmeriCorps and with TANF. And I'm just here now to answer questions at the end.
Okay, thank you so very much, Ms. Pennington. Moving right along, our last and final speakers will be of two people. They'll speak to you as a team, Ms. Crystal Wilson and Amanda Gourley. They're from the Kitsap Community Resources AmeriCorps program. Ms. Crystal Wilson is the Community Job Coordinator for Kitsap Community Resources, which is a nonprofit agency that provides hope and opportunity for low-income Kitsap County, Washington residents with resources that promote self-sufficiency. Her staff consists of one current AmeriCorps member and two full-time staff members that have been in AmeriCorps. One staff member completed 1 year of AmeriCorps in another county, and the other staff member was the most recent hire who has completed 2 years of AmeriCorps at KCR. Her other two staff members were both on TANF before becoming full-time hires. Ms. Amanda Gourley is the Supported Community Works Program Coordinator at Kitsap Community Resources. She works directly with TANF participants who are either waiting for school, working part-time, and still on TANF, as well as those who are still not quite sure what they want to do or what they're capable of doing. She came to KCR as a TANF participant in 2001, and the only work experience that she had was in fast food restaurants. She was placed in the Community Job Corps program as an office assistant at KCR in 2002, and was selected for AmeriCorps in 2004 and again in 2005 while still on TANF. She was hired by KCR in 2006 and within a year's time was promoted to the position of program coordinator. She currently has one staff member who was also hired from a TANF program and an AmeriCorps member on staff who is currently on TANF. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you. You want me to go ahead, Crystal?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I believe our part in this, we don't work directly with the AmeriCorps program itself. Kitsap Community Resources does have our own AmeriCorps program that we operate in Kitsap County. We, I believe, were asked to talk from our AmeriCorps director, Russ Donahue, to speak about how we work with Kitsap County residents on TANF and how we also work with AmeriCorps members as well. We currently, our AmeriCorps program is the largest in the state. We currently have 36 members, and we our members serve in, as tutors in our local schools. We have members who work with our Head Start program as family advocates. We have members placed in with the Red Cross. We have members placed inside our own agency of Kitsap Community Resources as case managers and facilitators. We have members at the YWCA, one member is a family advocate, one member is a legal advocate. We have a program here called Kitsap Youth in Action, which helps get our youth interested in volunteering, and they go around and do projects throughout the county. We have members placed in that, and they work directly with the youth. We also have a program here at Kitsap Community Resources, which works directly with our courts, and we have members who help provide some of the community service that the courts do to work off the court fines, which is a huge savings to our county. We have members at our Kitsap County Health District, and we also have members who are serving with Children's of the Nations, which that program goes into the schools and helps prepare meals that are sent overseas. Crystal and I work with in a program that two separate programs that are with the Community Trade and Economic Development, and we provide services to our TANF families, and we also select TANF recipients to serve. Having them work with us, we get to learn a lot about them, and having the AmeriCorps program housed inside of KCR itself, we are able to see many of the people that we serve discuss and get excited about the opportunity to volunteer, give back to the community. I myself, that was why I joined AmeriCorps, was KCR did so much for me and my children to help me get move forward that I wanted to give back to the community because my community gave to me. And we're seeing that consistently, and that's why so many of our people want to join AmeriCorps. The programs that Crystal and I run provide employment opportunities. I'll let her speak directly about hers. The programs that we serve are some of the hardest people to serve. Our 10 of recipients that we have are not quite ready for employment activities, and on the other side of the coin, they are ready, but their activities may be not ready for them. So in order to meet federal participation standards, we have them in a work activity. The goal of my program is to help them either find out what their career goal is and then move them forward, or just keep them in a work activity that helps give them some career goals, some work experience while they're waiting for their activity to start. I currently have an AmeriCorps who just started. This is her first year. She was a community jobs participant, which is the program that Crystal is going to be speaking about, and she was placed here as a receptionist. She's currently on TANF, and she's serving in AmeriCorps, and she is doing wonderful, and she is able, having come from that side, as a TANF recipient, we're able to reach our clients on a different level than some people are able to because we've been there. We've experienced it, and I believe that we're able to offer some kind of hope. Like, okay, well, if they did it, they're not much different than we are. We can do it too. We also have the ability to, since we partner with the Department of Social and Health Services, we're also able to give them a different side of the coin too, as far as. I know as a TANF recipient, sometimes people that you're working with are not always, you don't feel that they're always on your side. We're able to help them see how the other agencies that they're working with are on their side and how they actually are advocating for them and how they fight for them even if they're not able to see it. So on that note, I'm going to let Crystal talk to you about community jobs.
Thanks, Amanda. My job as a community jobs coordinator is to bring TANF participants into our program, and our program is kind of a middle program. In Amanda's programs, they might not quite be ready to go out and get unsubsidized employment. The goal of community jobs is for them to exit out of our program with unsubsidized employment. We have, with the exception of myself, I have two current staff members that were in AmeriCorps, and one current staff that is an AmeriCorps member. And like Amanda said, they come through us, so we get to see, you know, how they work, how they establish themselves. Do they have, you know, what it takes? And even though we're not supposed to encourage them, so to speak, to apply for AmeriCorps because it could potentially be a conflict of interest for us, we do get an awful lot of people who apply that come from the community jobs programs, and quite a few of them are selected, and they do fabulous. They do absolutely wonderful things at the host sites where they're placed, and a lot of times, as KCR can model, we do directly hire them if positions become available. So we have intense case management going on in the program that I have. Our participants aren't quite ready for job search. Maybe they need some updated work skills, updated resume. Maybe they're changing career fields and they need work experience in that avenue. And we give them the opportunity to participate in the program. And hopefully, you know, it will lead to unsubsidized employment. So I guess I'm really kind of wondering if anybody has any questions, because I think we are a model program that we not only work with TANF participants, but we work with AmeriCorps, and a lot of our AmeriCorps did come from the TANF program.
Okay, thank you very much, Amanda and Crystal. Wonderful presentation. We're looking pretty good for timing, and I just wanted to check to make certain that whether or not any of these speakers have any additional comments to say before we open up the call for questions and comments. No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Stephanie, we're ready for questions.
Okay. Should we give everyone just a minute to digest information and then open up the line?
Yes.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. As a reminder, to queue up for a question, press the 1 followed by the 4.
We have a question to start with here.
I guess I have a question for all the speakers. Could you give some examples of some of the soft skills trainings and any recommended programs that you've used at your site for the soft skills and the job readiness programs, and also a little bit more elaboration on the job identification and the career pathways for the low-skilled workers? That was mentioned several times.
Hi, this is Valerie. For the TANF recipients that come into our office, we have an application that they complete. And on the application, we ask them about their interest areas and whether or not they would be interested in doing work that or volunteer service in an office setting, if they would like to go into a school system, and if so, in what capacity, and some put down teacher assistants. And we prepare them then with the teachers, and they actually go into the classroom, and the teachers kind of show them what it is that they have to do on the day-to-day in their day-to-day duty as teachers. They get a chance to work with the teachers, and then after that, they will come back to us, because we have a VISTA member here in the office, and the VISTA member would then do an assessment with them just to see, you know, what skills or what trainings they would need. And after that, there's a job readiness training, but the job readiness is provided by the Department of Human Services. And in that job readiness training, they get the employability skills, do resume writing, and if they have their high school diploma, we assist them in completing the college applications and getting them, or if they're not ready for college at that point because of financial reasons, then we introduce the AmeriCorps program to them and give them that as an option to getting extra training and then getting the educational award at the end of their service. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there any other, because I know there's several sites who are interested in soft skills, work readiness, and job identification and career pathways. So we were really looking for what are your insights, recommendations, and if there were any specific programs that you were utilizing that other sites throughout the country or potential grantees could use to implement their soft skills and job readiness programs.
This is Anna from Arkansas. We do not take on that task per se. The Department of Volunteerism, through the Department of Human Services, is the entity who facilitates all of the soft skills training for us. We do something in-house, but we don't have a particular program that we use. We have created something on our own based on my experiences and based on our work with the AmeriCorps members through the years, but our formal training comes through the Department of Volunteerism. So I could get you some additional information.
That would be wonderful.
Anything
you can share with us would be great.
Will we get a list of the folks who are on and contact information?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Amanda from Kitsap Community Resources. For our AmeriCorps members themselves, we each year have a member development training, and typically what that member development training consists of is something similar to the Dependable Strengths program. We've kind of modified that a little bit, and what we call it is the discovery process. And what the members go through is a program where they can identify their strengths and potentially use that to sell themselves. We ourselves, for our TANF recipients, have what we call life skills classes, and we also have an EJST program, which is Enhanced Job Skills Training. And the life skills class we use for the first initial 10 days that a participant is received, referred to us. And what that consists of, there's anger management, stress management, time management, conflict resolution, dealing with difficult people, just some things that we feel that they would need. We currently are updating that and modifying the program to better suit our participants, and we actually use their feedback to modify the program. If they say, hey, this isn't working for us, then we ask them, what would you like to see, what would work better, and implement that. The Enhanced Job Skills Training is a classroom setting, and they do computer tutorials, the basic Microsoft Office suites. They have people come in and talk to them about domestic violence. We have outside employers come in and talk about what it is that employers are seeking, skills, maybe how to better present, go in to a job interview. Sometimes what a participant feels is appropriate toward a job interview or to just pick up an application isn't necessarily appropriate. So hearing from an outside employer versus us saying the same exact thing, they're more apt to listen to the outside employer because this is a person who could potentially be offering them a job. The Enhanced Job Skill Training also has I don't have the curriculum right in front of me. It's a 24-week program, and the participants are usually there 3 hours a day, 4 days a week, and that's also flexible as well, depending on their schedule. It's a program that we have that's meant for someone who maybe isn't ready to go into the college system or isn't interested in seeking their GED, or maybe doesn't need to have any more updating through the college. So that's what we have to offer.
Thank you.
Operator, could you maybe repeat how to ask a question for everyone?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone, and you're going to hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. One moment, please. We have no questions from the phone lines at this time. Oh, sorry, yes, we do have a question. It's from the line of Luz Pardini from California. Please proceed with your question.
Okay, my question has to do with how would we go about if we were to, let's say, send some of our TANF participants to your agency? What is the process for getting, like, a contract or, you know, having all these AmeriCorps agencies part of our inventory? Would we have the AmeriCorps National and then they would subcontract or send it out to the participants? How would we, what is the process or how do you do it with the other agencies?
This is Amanda from Kentucky Community Resources again. For us ourselves, typically all of our programs are for the TANF recipients. They need to be directly referred to us by the Department of Social and Health Services. We do have a few other self-referred programs where anyone, including TANF recipients, can just walk in off the street and apply for. The Workforce Investment Act is a employment program that they can get enrolled in without a referral, and we also have a drive relicensing program which helps anyone whose license was suspended for failure to pay on traffic tickets get a payment plan set up and get their license back. But those are inside our employment. We also have many, we're a local community action agency. We have many, many programs that aren't necessarily related to TANF.
But if we were to refer participants to your agency, then we would need some kind of a contract or I'm not sure what, you know, how we would go about.
You yourself, we have a contract already. We have a contract in place to provide services to TANF, the TANF recipients.
Oh, okay.
Our referrals come from DSHS for Work First.
Okay.
The program that Crystal and I myself in and one of our other programs are Work First activities, and that's how
mm-hmm.
the TANF get involved.
Okay. So I guess I would just need to find out how to make it part of our inventory so that our system can allow us to do those referrals. And to find out where there's actually a need to send, you know, that you are actually accepting or in need of people.
Mm-hmm.
This is Anna in Arkansas. With our program, persons who are interested in applying, they can either go to the corporation's website and submit an application, or they can go to the DWS office. We accept referrals from DWS. We accept referrals from the Department of Human Services. We also have a recruiting system that we use whereby we're a local nonprofit, so we partner with a lot of other organizations locally, and therefore when we have openings, we alert those particular organizations or those partners and let them know that we're recruiting, and they can send referrals to us. That's here in the Delta of Arkansas. But we have had applicants from all over the country.
Hi, this is Valerie again. And in the Mississippi Delta, what goes on with our, we have a partnership with the Department of Human Services, and they send us a list of names. And we then have our own partnerships with the different local nonprofit agencies. And we have a VISTA member also, and she has different recruitment dates set up during the year where we go out and recruit different volunteers as well as other nonprofit sites. So that's how we get ours.
I have a question as far as how long did the process take for all of you to become an AmeriCorps grantee, and how difficult is this process, or is it very time-consuming?
This is Anna from Arkansas again. We started our process probably a year-long process, and it may would have been longer if I had not had experience working with an AmeriCorps, especially a scattered site program, prior to coming into this position. Also, those relationships or partnerships that we previously had were very instrumental in setting up our program the way it has been set up. We received technical assistance from the state office. Initially, when we applied, we were not applying through e-grants, so e-grants within itself brought about some new learnings that we had to undertake. E-grants can be a challenge for some who may not be as proficient in technology as others are. As far as overall how difficult the process was, it wasn't that difficult because we had some budget experience because I've been a project director for some time. Coming up with match is a challenge for us because we have most of our dollars are federal dollars, and we couldn't match our AmeriCorps project with our federal dollars. We couldn't use those dollars as match. It does take time. It was a 12-month process for us. And when I say a 12-month process, I'm talking about planning the project, aligning the partners, getting those MOUs signed that we got signed, and setting up the host sites and all of that. That was the lengthy process.
This is Amanda from Kitsap Community Resources, and that's a question that I myself can't answer, but Stephanie, if you want to give out my contact information, anyone who has a similar question like that, I can forward it to the appropriate people who could help anyone walk through that process.
Sure, I can do that.
Okay.
Stephanie, I do want to add that once we received that initial grant, the subsequent applications were not as difficult because once you get into the pipeline and you get the feel and learn what the process is and how and who you need to engage, it's a much more precise undertaking. It's not as time-consuming.
We do have another question from the phone lines. And our next question comes from the line of Rodolfo Palares. Please from California. Please proceed with your question.
Okay, thank you. Yes, does anyone have a water readiness certificate program, and how is that working for you?
This is Anna in Arkansas again. We do not have a certificate program, but we are working on a new endeavor with the College of Public Health at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, and we're working on a green project. We're in the planning stages. We're working with our local community college and a technical college in Little Rock to create a certificate program. So I don't have any details as far as, well, we don't have a program at this time, but we do plan on having a program within the next 4 to 6 months. So if I could have your contact information, I could keep you abreast of what happens.
Okay, sure. Let me give you my phone number.
Okay.
It's area code 619-515-6950.
950?
6950, right.
Okay. What was your name again?
The first name is Rudy, R-U-D-Y, Palares, P-A-L-L-A-R-E-S.
Okay.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to register for a question, plus the 1 followed by the 4.
And this is Valerie in Lower Mississippi Dog Service Corps again. Rudy, to add on to the question that you asked about the certification, Lower Mississippi Dog Service Corps has a teacher certification program that we use in connection with our local university, Delta State University. But it's for the TANF recipients once they get into the program and they're working with our youth, then they go through a teacher certification program.
You said earlier that the application process was kind of long. Is there additional technical assistance that's available from AmeriCorps to assist with that process?
Is that a question for Chandra or is it for anyone? Chandra?
Well, I don't think Chandra is on the line anymore.
Okay.
But if you took advantage of any of the, you know, if there was technical assistance for you during that process?
There was not a lot. I'm sure if we had requested more, we could have received more, but I linked up with folks who were already operating programs, and based on my previous experience with the AmeriCorps program, I didn't have to request a lot of technical assistance, but I know the state of Arkansas, they do have staff through the service commission that's willing to assist you, which I'm sure is the case in most states.
Great, thank you.
And the other thing, Stephanie, we have what's called a planning meeting normally in the fall, and all the AmeriCorps project directors come together and we do a planning session, and if there are some questions at that time, we deal with those issues, especially if there's some TA that someone may need, we can deal with that during that time as well.
Thank you. Operator, do we have any more questions at this time?
No, we have no further questions from the phone lines at this time. Please proceed with your presentation.
Okay, well, James, do you want to go ahead and wrap up the call?
Sure. So thanks, everyone, for participating in this call today, and everyone who has joined us. A special thank you to all of our speakers, Chandria, Anna, Valerie, Amanda, and Crystal. Just listening to Amanda and Crystal certainly serves as a living proof that the program does work. Last but not least, a special thanks to ICF International for all of their hard work. We hope this call was beneficial to you as you continue to work and serve in your respective communities. For your convenience, a transcript will and audio recording of this teleconference will be made available for everyone within the next few weeks. Also, feel free to email anyone on the Rural Communities Initiative team if you have any further questions. On behalf of the Office of Family Assistance, I thank you also very much and have a pleasant day.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.